Before we go there, let's go to Luke 24. Just added information. What happened in Luke 24? Upon the resurrection, Jesus said to them, "O full slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" It says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded. That means to interpret in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, prophecies, yes, but he identified himself for them. Is that clear? Interpret. Now, why do I have to interpret? We said that. First and foremost, the grammar. Right? And the world is different. But the text of the scriptures, can interpret itself towards the person of Jesus. And 44, it says, "These are the words I said to all who has revealed the author of majority in the law of Moses, the prophet, and the Psalms concerning me." Then he opened their understanding that they may understand scripture. So when he opened their eyes, just like it happened to Paul in Acts 9, he saw this is that person. This is that person. So he knew that he saw that visible Yahweh. And we said earlier, 2 Timothy 3 quickly, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness." And we said in 15 that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through the faithfulness that is in Christ. Which means that when we read the scriptures, we'll see a consistency about Jesus. And how is he identified? We see him as the word of the Lord, the name of the Lord, the face of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, the man of war, the captain of the host, the Lord of hosts, the mediator, advocate, the head of the heavenly assembly, heavenly realm, the host of heaven. And those phrases are for a visible person. Visible. Someone who didn't just visit, but who was visible throughout the Old Testament. So we said in the earlier session that why then did they drop the angel of the Lord narrative? I told you why. Because by the first century, just before Jesus came, before the first century that we refer to today, the phrase angel had changed. It has now changed, used by calls to describe not a job description anymore, but to describe certain beings, just like the word gods, Elohim, Theos in the Greek, also changed. So the writer of Hebrews labors around that area to make that distinction. Hebrews 1 and 2, where he makes, you discover that he was making a difference between Jesus and the angels. What was the force about? Because he was the angel of God in the Old Testament, or God the angel. So that narrative was very important to make a clear distinction and demarcation. And of course, the phrase "only begotten" also, we said, why is he called only begotten or firstborn? Because in the Old Testament, we have the phrase sons of God used for supernatural beings. So firstborn became important to show this is the head, chiefest of all. This is the one that has the inheritance. So the book of Hebrews will help our verbiage or vocabulary in that sense. Another phrase we're going to see is the use of saints. Now, you notice the Acts of the Apostles uses saints. Acts 9:32. It came to pass as Peter passed through all quarters, he came down to the saints, holy ones, saints. Then you have Romans 1, Paul, verse 7, called saints. Romans 1, 7, 1 Corinthians 1, 2, sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints. Now notice that it flows from in Christ Jesus. Now we've identified Christ Jesus as the supernatural angel of God, right? Hello? Are we here? Alright, so, and that was a phrase used for, now in the Old Testament we have the Kodesh ones. You see it, Psalm 89. And the heavens shall praise thy wonder, Psalm 89 verse 5. Please go there. O Lord, thy faithfulness in the congregation of the saints. Kodesh. Saints. Verse 7. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. This is not born again people like you and I. That's not the reference point there. These are the supernatural beings. So they are called saints. The Old Testament, why are they called saints? Because they are used for special purposes. Okay? God uses them. They are different. Okay? Daniel. So we have Daniel also used that phrase quite a lot. Okay. Daniel 4, verse 23. And whereas the king saw a watcher. Watcher is, you have the word IR in Hebrew. And an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, heal the tree, and an holy one. So you have watcher, holy one. Verse 13, I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, behold, a watcher, and an holy one came down from heaven. Jeremiah 33, and verse 2, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. With his right hand. The saints here is not saints community. I think I said that the other time. The saints here refers to supernatural beings. Psalm 68. And verse 17. The chariots of God are 20,000 and thousands of angels. The Lord is among them in Sinai in the holy. In the holy. I think I've read Daniel already. Daniel 7 and verse 10. And Pharaoh's stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands, thousands ministered unto him. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. So you have that consistent number. Now you all go to Hebrew, said innumerable company of angels. Okay? We are come to Mount Zion, Hebrews 12, 22, 23. Now, the New Testament now calls the believers these things. Why? Because we have been brought into that assembly, right? Huh? Through Jesus. So let's see how New Testament authors changed that phrase used for, let's call them angels for the purpose of this teaching. First Timothy 6. Verse 15. Call Jesus the blessed, only potentate, the King of kings, and Lord of Lords. Then we have Second Thessalonians 1:7. To you who are troubled, rest with us even when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Mighty angels. So those are the same things we read earlier. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 as well. Okay, so the New Testament definitely just changes the words. But you will see the same fact. So they applied the angel of God text, that angel of God text, to Jesus, you know, very directly. I believe we were in Mark 14 yesterday. Let's check it again. Mark 14, when they asked Jesus the question. The high priest asked him, Mark 14. He said, are you Christ, verse 61, the Son of the Blessed? the Son of the Blessed. Are you Christ, the Son of the Blessed? This identifies the second person. Huh? Hey, turn there now. See, if you don't turn there, you know what I'm saying. Okay? Are you, are thou the Christ, Son of the Blessed? Is that the second person? Uh-huh. And he said, I am. Now, I am is relative, right? You can apply I am. That response, you know that response? I am. And you shall see the Son of Man seated on the right hand of power. Who is the prophet here? Right hand. Daniel? Uh-huh. Coming in the clouds of heaven. Coming in the clouds of heaven. And the Son of Man there, Daniel 7. We were there just now. Let's just see it again. Daniel 7. Verse 13 to 14. I saw in night visions the Son of Man came to the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days and brought him near before him. Ancient of Days. So you have that, the two persons. Then you know, when we say Most High, don't forget, I forgot to mention that. When we say Most High God, Most High is because there are other Elohim. Is that clear? Most High. Look at Matthew 22. Again, they ask Jesus a question again, Matthew 22. No, sorry, Jesus asked them a question. Very uniquely. And verse 42. What think you of Christ? Whose son is he? They said, David. They were not wrong. But they were dealing with his humanity. Then he said, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, verse 44, Matthew 22, sit down on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David calls him Lord, how is he his son? He's not saying he's not his son. It's rhetoric. So they looked at the humanity. He spoke of the deity. How is he his son? Now this text already talks about two, right? The Lord said to my Lord, Adonai. So we have two persons, Psalm 110 verse 1, spoken of, Genesis 19, 24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. From the Lord. The Lord rained from the Lord. Amos 4 verse 11. I overthrew some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning, yet have you not returned to me, saith the Lord. So you have the Lord speaking about God. So John, of the writers of the four Gospels, was very direct. When you have words like in 1 John, the Word, the Light, the Glory, they are all descriptions of Jesus in the Old Testament. So when John opens, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, he's referring to the Word of the Lord, not a speech or a set of statements, but the revealed person. In the Old Testament, the one who was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Of course, we saw that in Samuel as well. That's the word of the Lord is referring to. Look at Psalm 126. I want to show you a few things. I said earlier on that they did not believe in the promise of the Messiah. They did believe the promise the Messiah brings, but they believed in a present Messiah, not a promised Messiah. The promise of the Messiah, that the Messiah will bring, yes, but not a promised Messiah, which means he was their savior present tense in the Old Testament. Does it make sense? Come on, does it make sense? Psalm 106. We have what we call the Targum. I mentioned that like a translation or interpretation of Old Testament texts available in the time of Jesus and Paul, and I believe they did use that a lot, where it gives a broader vocabulary to words, just like we have amplified version today. We had, you know, stuff like that then called the Targum, T-A-R-G-U-M. Now Psalm 106 verse 25. It says, they murmured in their tents. I'm going to read the Targum to you. They murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. So it appears like you just heard the voice. Hello? Hi? But the voice of the Lord here in the Targum is the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. So this voice of the Lord is understood in the audience as a person. Numbers 14:22. Because all these men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, have tempted me now these 10 times, have not hearkened to my voice. The word here in the Hebrew, have not received my word. Have not received. Genesis 3:8. The voice. So this gives us a big background. And they heard the voice of the Lord God. Now look at this instance. They heard and heed. Why would you heed from a voice? You can only hide from someone you saw. Are we here? They heard the voice of the Lord God walking. Now, by using walking, that means it's a person. Right? So now, fold that into the voice of the Lord God in the New Old Testament. That's a person. The word of the Lord. So was Jesus praying in the garden? It had to be. He's God. Numbers 14:11. So the Targum gives all this. Numbers 14:11. How long will these people provoke me? How long will they believe me? For the signs I have showed among them, they believe me. Numbers 14:11. The Targum says, believe in the name of my word. The name of my word. The name of my word. Put it in your Bible. The name of my word. So the New Testament uses the Targum. Author, so they would replace that with a person. It's Romans 9:23. Likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, go up and possess the land which I have given you, when you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, you believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice. Now, Targum says, the word of the Lord your God. The word of the Lord, that is the word commandment, there is the word of the Lord. So, you know, we can simply put a comma there. The word of the Lord, who is your God? Does it make sense? The word of the Lord your God. Exodus 19. Are you learning something? Did I explain Targum? Do you understand Targum? It's like when you have amplified. Is that clear? Where the words, you know, were not well, you know, the grammatical expression were not fair. So they now broaden it so that you will understand what he's saying. So he's not just talking about a disembodied speech. He's a person. Exodus 19, verse 5 to 6. Watch this one now. And we'll look at how Peter wrote it. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice, indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. You shall, now, verse 6, you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak to the children of Israel. Now look at 1 Peter. Now let me just read this from the time. Targum says, receive my word. My word. 1 Peter 2. So you see that Peter did apply the Targum in the way he interpreted that text. 1 Peter 2. Let's start from chapter 1. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God. Now this readily comes like by a speech. No. which liveth and abides forever. Is that a speech or a person? So, Peter is using Old Testament phrase. Are we here? Alright. For all flesh as grass, all glory of man as the flower of grass. He says the grass withered and the flower fades off. Now, let's go to this text. Again, we keep asking, which text is he referring to? Go to Isaiah 40, actually 2, Psalm 103 verse 15. For as a man is days as grass, as the flower of the field, he flourishes. So go to Isaiah 40, which is direct. Verse 6. Maybe we'll start from 6. For 5. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. All flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Verse 6. And the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All the flesh is grass. All the goodness thereof as the flower of the field. The grass withered. The flower fades. Because the spirit of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people is grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Then look at the B part. Judah, behold your God. So he calls the Spirit of the Lord, the word of God, the glory of God. Is that Jesus? Are you here? It's 1 Peter 1:20. So can we say, being born again, 23, not of corruptible, but incorruptible through Jesus. Huh? Not the speech. Who lives and abides forever? Does it make sense? Mm-hmm. In fact, if you just back up a little bit to the first chapter, the first few verses. Verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. It now says here, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, he now calls it by the word of God in 23. Does it make sense? Which lives and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass, all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withered and the flower therefore falls away. But the word of the Lord, Old Testament, endures forever. This is the word which by the gospel. Can we say this is Jesus? Which by the gospel is preached unto you. So, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile, all hypocrisies, all envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted that who? The Lord is gracious. So, when the New Testament calls him the Word, they're not referring to his speech, oh. Is that visible second person Yahweh of the Old Testament? To whom coming as unto a living stone. So, how did of men, chosen of God and precious. You also as lively stones, living stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer sacrifices, sacrifice to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, he that believes on him, shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, unto them which are disobedient, the stone that builders rejected, the same is made the head of the corner. And he said, the stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, to them which stumble at the word there is speech or a person? Being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed, but you are. So he calls, that is referencing Exodus 19, 5 and 6. He calls him. Jeremiah 7:23. Again, this commandment I said, saying, obey my voice, I will be your God. Obey my voice. The third one says, receive my word. So when we read that, God is asking you to receive God, the visible God. So I put it here in this note. I said, all through scripture, God, allow me to use this phrase loosely, has always communicated through Jesus. that didn't start with the epistles. So, the word became a person, John 1:14, or became a human being. The word has always been a person. Relatable, in speech, come on, in interaction. So, the word of the Lord is God in interaction with man. Let's see John. Look at John 1:17. Of course, the beginning was the Word. What was God? We said that, referring to the person of God, right? So, like I told you, someone said, Jesus became the Word after all the prophecies, when they now came together and now were being fulfilled, is now called the Word of God. That's careless speaking. He's the Word of God today because he was the Word of God then. Word of God simply means a visible expression of the unseen God. Now look at 17. For the law was given by Moses, grace and truth came by Jesus. It's basically saying that this is what Moses taught. Grace and truth came by Jesus. Put your hands there and go to Exodus 34. Verse 5. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth. Is that Jesus? Huh? That's Jesus. Okay. So look at John 3:13. So John is a major commentator on connecting Jesus with that angel of God, that visible Yahweh, John. And he had to do that because the cult had risen who was saying Jesus was a created person in the womb of Mary. We still have them today. So John had to, you know, do a polemic. That's why his own writing was quite different from the entire three. John 3:13. You hear something? Right. No man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, the Son of Man which is in heaven. Now, what is he saying here? No man ascended, but he that is in heaven. He's saying that this person, right, myself, have interacted with the heaven and earth. Can you see? Called like the ladder between heaven and earth. And we see that a lot. Where he came, he ascended and descended. Let's see a few. Genesis 17:22. Don't forget, interpreting the text, what do? You look at the conversation. Look at the grammatical structure. You look at the grammar. Ascended, descended. Then, what is it interpreting? For example, before you go to Genesis 17, John had recorded this. John 1:51. Very soon to you, therefore you shall see the heavens open and the angels of God, sons of God, Elohim. Please look there. I'd love you to open. You see that the texts are so many and you're writing. Okay, let me slow down a bit. I am not going to. Thereafter you shall see heaven open, right? That's see the word of the invisible, right? Angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. So, ascend and descending is interaction. Is that clear? That's the grammar. Now, go to Genesis 17:22. God is talking to Abraham. Let's take it together. And he left off talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. So, you can see what it means. He went up. It means he's talking, he stopped talking, yeah. Genesis 35, verse 13. Can we also mean to appear and disappear? Would that be it? Huh? Ah. Ascend, is it appear and disappear? Uh-huh. Verse 13, God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. That means he didn't see him physically again. Is that it? Is that it? Uh-huh. Judges 13 and 20. Now, does it mean he left him? Huh? It means to appear visibly and not to appear visibly. It's not to leave the person. Okay? Judges 13, 20. It came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, and the angel of God descended in the flame of the altar, and Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces, and the angel of God did no more appear to them. That is, to see him physically. So Acts 1, remember the resurrection, Jesus speaking to them, gave them a great commandment. Acts 1. So does it make sense? Acts 1, 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. Do you know what it means now? It means he was no longer physically seen. And a cloud was seen out of their sight. While they looked towards heaven. Alright? Now, unfortunately, why do you have books and all that? When you look, you think what is seen like this? No, now. Where did he go? He clasped, okay. And he went up. Behold, two men stood by them and says, you men, why are you standing and gazing? This same Jesus who is taken up from among you to heaven, so shall come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So he's always visible and invisible. And we saw it, I mean, we saw him, he appeared to quite a number of people in Acts of the Apostles, right? That means he went in and came back. Visible, invisible. Acts 2, 34, 35. So you can see he didn't leave them. It's just that he became invisible. Acts 34, 35. David is not ascended to heaven, but he that himself, he said himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand till I make thy enemies your footstool. He said, we are witnesses. He was raised up. Verse 32. So that's the ascended and descended part. Ephesians 4. So when a supernatural being appears, he said to descend. When he disappears, he what? Ascends. Does it make sense? Aha. Uh-huh. So when we are raised up together with Jesus, it simply means that in the supernatural realm, we are introduced into it. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? Ephesians 4. Now he that ascended, what is it that he also descended first lower parts of the earth? And he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things. So that phrase, ascending and descending, John 3:13, simply refers to visible and invisible. John 5, quickly. So when Jesus did that in the book of Acts, was that the first time? Huh? Uh-huh. You simply connect him to the angel of the Lord. John 5. This is quite some text, but I'll just speak some key ones. From verse 36. Watch this now. I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me, angel of God. Huh? Alright. And the Father himself which has sent me had borne witness of me. Now watch this. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Which means that the voice of God is who? Jesus. Or his shape. The angel of God? Word of the Lord. Okay. Or his shape. You have not his word abide in you, for whom he sent, him believe you not. Him you believe not. Whom he sent. You search the scriptures. They testify of me. Because we had the angel of God. Very prominent, right? Is this making sense? Alright. So Moses wrote of me. verse 46. You don't believe my words, the words of the angel, who is also called the word of the Lord. We read Numbers 14:11, John 12:37. Just put all that. So is Jesus speaking here as the angel of God? He is. Exodus 23 verse 20, the one who is sent. Genesis 24 verse 7, verse 40 and 42, Numbers 20:16. Exodus 23 verse 20, we've been there before. Genesis 24 verse 7, Genesis 24 verse 40 and 42, Numbers 20 verse 16. So when he says, Moses verse 46 wrote of me, prophecy or present reality? Wrote of me. Because you hear the angel of the Lord appear to him. And the angel of the Lord, and the word of the Lord, say, Moses was writing about me. That is me. So I said here, Moses wrote more about the existence of Jesus, his actions, than if his future as a man. Did he talk about his future as a man? Yes. Jeremy 18. So, can we safely say that Jesus was not a type and shadow in the Old Testament? It was a living reality in the Old Testament. He spoke, interacted in that generation, acting. Jeremy 18 quickly. And verse 15. The Lord thy God raised thee up unto thee, a prophet from the midst of the brethren like unto me. Unto him you shall hearken. Now this is his humanity. 18, I'll raise them a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my word in his mouth, shall speak unto them all that shall command him. That is the humanity. Exodus 14:31. So in the Exodus, who did they not believe? Jesus, right? So when Hebrews 4:2 says, the same gospel was preached to them, that is, Moses preached about him. They did not receive. That's him, Jesus. Exodus 14 and 31. You hear something? Okay, watch this. And Israel saw, I'm going to read the Targum for you again. Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord. Now the Targum says, believe the word of the Lord and his servant, Moses. So who was Moses working with? Jesus. Are you with me? Who was Moses preaching about? Jesus. Go to Acts 7. This, 37. We're coming to this one shortly. This is that Moses which said in the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up from you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear, is humanity. Now look at 38. This is he. Can you see? So the same person he was saying will come was with them. Are you following this? Moses said there's going to be a prophet, a human being. But the person he was talking about was right there with them. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel that spoke to him in the Mount Sinai and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. Watch, let's take 39 together. To whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them and in their hearts turned back again unto Egypt. Look at 52. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they slain them who showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers. So his work here, that's Stephen, so that same Jesus that they rejected is the one you are rejecting. The same Jesus that they rejected is who you are rejecting. Now you also notice that John use the word I am a Lord for Jesus. In fact, we have over 23 statements. Alright? And you, when you go to the Old Testament, you throw that word I am, ego eimi, E-G-O-E-I-M-I, I am, Jeremiah 32. And verse 39. I am he, ego am I. Isaiah 43. I'm reading the Septuagint now. Isaiah 43 and verse 10. I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. Isaiah 52 and verse 6. I am he that both thus speak, behold, it is I. So you have 23. Now, remember that conversation you just had with the woman at the well, John 4:25. Let's see that. John 4:25 and 26. She asked, I know that Messiah comes, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I that speak unto thee, I am he. In verse 26. I am he. Now, there are 23. I am. Statements, more. John 4:26, just put it down. John 4:26. John 6:20. John 6:35. John 6:48 and 51. John 8:12, I am the light of the world. John 8:18. John 8:24. John 8:28 and 58. I'll take it again. John 6:20 and 35 and 41 and 48 and 51. John 8:12, 18, 24, 28, 58. John 10:7. John 10 verse 7, verse 9, verse 11, verse 14. John 10 verse 7, verse 9, verse 11, verse 14. John 11:25. John 11:25. John 13:19. John 13:19. John 14:16, John 14:16, John 15:1, John 15 verse 1, John 15 verse 5, then John 18 verse 5, verse 6 and 8, John 15 verse 1 and 5, John 18 verse 5, verse 6 and 8. So these are standout things in the book of John that connects Jesus with that word of the Lord, that angel of God. Now we have seven statements that stand out. Look at John 6:20. Again, the author has an assumption that you are reading the Old Testament. So when they had, I'll start from 19. When they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near unto the ship, and they were afraid. And he said to them, it is I, ego am I. Be not afraid. Look at Isaiah 43. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servants whom you are, whom I have chosen, and you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there is no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Look at verse 1. Now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name, thou art mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers shall overflow thee. So I am the Lord thy God. Now, that is Jesus speaking as God. Fear not, I am he. Psalm 107, this is just for other reference. Psalm 107 and verse 30. He makes the storm calm, So the waves thereof are still. He makes it an eternity. Then they are glad because they be quiet. So he brings them to their desired heaven. And that's what happened here. So those miracles point him as that Yahweh. John 8:23. Learning something? You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. From beneath, above means beginning. Alright? Isaiah 43:10 will be there. John 8:28. I am he. John 8:58. Before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Isaiah 43:12. Isaiah 48:15. Exodus 12:42. Isaiah 43:12. Isaiah 48:15. Exodus 12:42. So Abraham and Jesus had quite that interaction. John 13:19. I am he. I tell you before it comes, the wind shall come to pass, you believe that I am he. Again, Isaiah 43:10. John 18:5-8. Who do you seek? When they came to arrest him, says, I am he. And they fell. They fell backwards. This is a very verified. So, Psalm 9:3. When your enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. That's serious. So he identifies himself consistently as that person. As that person. So Isaiah 53 drops a hint. More than that though. Look at what he says. Verse 1. Who had believed our report? To whom is the hand of the Lord revealed? The hand of the Lord is the visible God, right? Have we done that study? Now, notice verse 2. He shall grow up. That is humanity. So he switches from his divinity to his humanity. Before him as a tender plant and as root out of dry ground. He had no form, nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. That is, his humanity will be a stark difference. The angel of the Lord. Philippians 2. Let us know that even though he's equal with God, verse 6, he made himself unrepresented, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And found in fashion, verse 8, as a man, he humbled himself. So which means this is deity becoming a man. So just like Isaiah 53 says, he's the arm of the Lord, but we're not going to see that. We're going to see a human being. So on the Mount of Transfiguration, it's a reminder of who he was. Matthew 17:1-8, Mark 9:2-8, Luke 9:28-36. Luke is very direct because Luke 9:31 says Jesus spoke to Moses and Elisha about his exodus. Luke 9:31, about his exodus, which he will accomplish in Jerusalem. Now that is an angel of God narrative. The Exodus. Because did he lead them in the Exodus too? Huh? Did he lead them in the Exodus? And now what was peculiar in this particular experience? There was the glory shone around him. And just like the angel was found in the tabernacle, he tabernacled with Moses and Elijah. So in Matthew 16, just before the Mount of Transfiguration experience, Matthew 16, When he spoke, when Peter said, "Who are you?" And he says, when he asks Peter, sorry, "Who are you?" Peter says, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, you know, "The gates of hell shall not prevail. Upon this rock I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail." We said, that's confrontational. He's speaking there as the captain of the host. His captain is the man of war, the Lord of hosts. So much later, when he's now speaking, look at 27. "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father." Is that Daniel? Is that Daniel? Huh? "With his angels." With his angels. That's arguably called the Prince of Heaven. The Ruler of Heaven. So you notice this, we've done this study for just that Matthew 17 verse 1 to 8 reflects Exodus 24 verse 11 and 15. Exodus 24, verse 11 and 15. "The Lord, he saw God and did eat." Look at this. "And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink. And the Lord said to Moses, 'Come up unto me to the mount and be there. I will give you tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written that may teach them.'" Now look at 15. "And Moses went up to the mount and a cloud covered the mount." So this is being replayed in Mark Transfiguration where Jesus appears. He appears in a supernatural way. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, 40, we have terrestrial bodies appearances and, you know, we have celestial appearances. So Jesus reflects like the sun here. In this instance, Matthew 17, 1 to 5. And the Old Testament lets us know that Judges 13, 6, that supernatural beings shine, just shine forth. Matthew 28, 2, we have such supernatural beings as at the tomb of Jesus. Luke 24, verse 2, and Luke 2, 9. Take it again. Judges 13, 6, Matthew 28, verse 2, Luke 24, verse 2, and Luke chapter 2, verse 9. Like the Son. So he now says, "This is my beloved Son." Psalm 2, verse 7. Huh? "In whom I'm well pleased." Genesis 22 verse 2. All come to play. So what was the cloud doing there? Was Jesus always with the cloud in the Old Testament? As the angel of the Lord. Exodus 13, 21. Exodus 13, 21. Exodus 14, 19. Exodus 16 verse 10. Exodus 19 verse 9. I take it again. Exodus 13, 21. Exodus 14, 19. Exodus 16:10, Exodus 19:9, Numbers 12 verse 5 to 8, Numbers 12 verse 5 to 8, Numbers 23 verse 20 to 21, Numbers 23 verse 20 to 21. Now look at that Matthew 17. Let's see how he answers them and see how typical. Like I said, the writers have an assumption that you are reading the Old Testament. That assumption, we must make sure we fulfill it. Matthew 17. Are you here? So we have seen verse 1, a replay of the Exodus. Verse 2, the Exodus. Verse 3, of course, we have Moses and Elijah. Verse 4, tabernacles, Exodus, a bright cloud, Exodus. So verse 6, when the disciples heard it, when they heard, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him." When they heard it, they fell on their faces and were sore afraid. Jesus came and touched them and said, "Arise, be not afraid." Let's see. Judges 6. Verse 22 and 23. Gideon perceived he was an angel of God. And Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God." Same thing. "Because I have seen an angel of God face to face." And the Lord said to thee, "Peace be unto you, fear not, you shall not die." Daniel 10 verse 10 to 12. Daniel 10 verse 10 to 12. "Fear not, I'm the one." Genesis 15 verse 1. Genesis 15 verse 1. Genesis 21 17. Genesis 21 17. 1 Kings 19 verse 17. 1 Kings 19 17. Of course, you have Luke 1:13. That's the synoptic. and Luke 1:30. I'll take it again. Genesis 15:1, Genesis 21:17, Luke 1:13 and 30, 1 Kings 19:17. So you have Daniel also speaking about that second figure, Daniel 8:16. Daniel 8:16. I heard a man's voice during the banks of Ulan and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. So someone was talking to Gabriel. Daniel 10:4-9. A certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were guarded with fine gold of Ophir, his body was like the beryl. Verse 9, I heard his words. So Daniel had that narrative of a second person within the Godhead. I'll use Godhead because that's how we can understand it. The Godhead. So we have the invisible and visible God. So all that text has been applied to Jesus by New Testament writers. The only difference is that their grammar was not the same. Let's say the mode of communication. Let's see three texts and we'll just run quickly on that. Acts 7, Stephen. We're going to look at three texts. Acts 7 and Galatians 3. If you can still do Hebrews 2, try. Like we said, the Old Testament had lesser beings, spiritual beings. They're also called sons of God. And they're also called angel. We saw that in Exodus 32 and 33. Don't forget that. So here is Stephen, he's preaching, and he uses the angel of God now, that visible Yahweh, Jesus, in the Old Testament. So what the New Testament writers and preachers did was they didn't preach Jesus as a promise alone, they preached him as that person. And this is how their gospel was clear, because the Old Testament already introduces the second person in God. So that was what they were preaching. And that was clear to their audience. The only issue was the connection to his humanity as Jesus, which is what the gospel aroused. Acts 6:11. Stephen is preaching. He's a Jew. They now said, the suborned men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. So what's blasphemous about what he said? Look at verse 14. Or look at 13. The set of false witnesses which said, this man causes us to speak ceases not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and against the Lord. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered unto us. So they're talking temple, he's talking the angel. Acts 7:2. Men and brethren, fathers, Akim, the God of glory, is that the angel of God, appeared to our father Abraham. We've seen that before. The word of the Lord appeared. So he moved from their confession in the temple to Jesus. Acts 7:47. So he said, look, Solomon built, they are talking about temple. Solomon built a house. Howbeit the Most High dwells not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet. Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? So, he's talking about God in his appearance, and that's Jesus. So he applies, or he talks about the appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament, again, Jeremiah 33:2, with multiple angels. So, now, you have to carefully read what Stephen is saying. Stephen speaks about two angels. Angels in plurality and one. And the two instances are prominent in the Torah, in the entire Old Testament. He speaks about one appearance, then several appearances. We've seen this before. Let's get back again. Jeremiah 33 and 2. I'll wait for you, please. Move there quickly. Let's take it together. Job 33 verse 2. He said, the Lord, I'll wait for you. The Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000 of saints from his right hand. Uh-huh. So in the giving of the Lord, we had other beings, right? Uh-huh. But we had one, the Lord. Psalm 68, we were there earlier today. Psalm 68. Verse 17. Chariots, 20,000, even 1,000 angels, the Lord is with them in Sinai, in the holy place. Sinai. So, Sinai, where the law is given, we had angels. For the purpose of this story, let's just call everybody angels. But we had the angels. So go back again to Acts 7. Verse 2, the God of glory appeared. Acts 7, 2. Acts 7, 6. God spoke on this wise. Acts 7, 7. God said. Acts 7, 8. He gave them the covenant. Acts 7:17, God swore. Acts 7:30, please pay attention here. When Moses, when 40 years expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai, what? In the flame of fire. Now, fire usually represents the other angels. He appeared in a convoy, in a bush. Watch how Stephen explains this. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. As he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came to him, saying, I am the God of your fathers. So, as Stephen identified that angel as God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Don't forget, in verse 2, he says, the God of glory appeared. Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, put off your shoes from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. So he's deliberate here. So he goes on, look at verse 35. This Moses whom you refused, saying, who had made thee a ruler and a judge, the same did God send. Okay? To be a ruler and deliverer by the hand of the angel, which appeared to him. Because he just told us there that God appeared to him. Okay? The angel which appeared to him. He brought them out, verse 36, after that he had showed signs and wonders in the land of Egypt and the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. So you have, this is that Moses, which, okay, look at 44. Our fathers had tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, and he had appointed them, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. So you have God, the angel, used intermittently. Numbers 20:19 again. Why does he use angel? He's talking to a Jewish audience, right? Acts 7:32, that angel says, I am the God. And we read 1 Corinthians 10:4, the rock that followed them was who? Christ. Can we say the angel that followed them was Christ? Jude 5. So God's communication with men through scriptures has been through Jesus. Genesis 2:7, the Lord God breathed into man's nostrils breath of life. John picked that in John 20:22. Jesus breathed in them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So, Stephen's emphasis here is the angel of God, not the temple. So Stephen lets us know, Acts 7:32, the angel of the bush who spoke, the angel of the bush who spoke, yet accompanied with angels, just add Deuteronomy 32 verse 1 to 5. Then Deuteronomy 33 verse 1 to 5. Okay, let's just read that one. Deuteronomy 33 verse 2. The Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. So, he's describing Sinai to them and he focuses on the angel of God. They are talking about temple. And he's talking about the angel of God. Their focus was temple. He's talking about the angel of God at Sinai. He wants to identify that angel to them. And rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran and he came with 10,000 of saints and his right hand a fiery love for them. Look at 3. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand. They sat down at thy feet. One shall receive of your words. Are these the angels? Huh? Are these the angels? And Moses commanded us a law, even the, so we had, in the giving of the law, we had the angel, we also had who? Are you here? So this is in Stephen's sermon. So Stephen identifies other angels. So again we said, the throne of God is in the midst of these angels, right? Huh? So go to Acts 7 again. Learning something? Verse 53. Who received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it? Contradictory? Is it contradictory? Huh? He first said the angel, then he said angels. Is it contradictory? Is it contradictory? They are not answering. We have seen that there is the angel and also, so, he's explaining what happened at Mount Sinai. Did you have the angel? Who is God? Do you have other angels? So is Acts 7:53 contradictory? No, it's not. So let's see how Stephen closes this sermon. Okay, let me repeat this again. So Jesus on the throne is in the midst of these angels, right? Above them, Hebrews 1:6. Deuteronomy 32 verse 43. 2 Thessalonians 1 7 to 8. 2 Thessalonians 1 7 to 8. Revelation 19 7 to 8. So look at his conclusion. So what he did was, he showed them that there was a visible being who was with them. They knew who saved them, who they rejected. He showed them all of that. Then, by using Son of Man, he has gone to Daniel. Right? Daniel identifies his humanity. There's a human being prophesied of this being. So he got to verse 54. When he says, and he says, they received this, they were cut to heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Now they know that this angel is called Glory. Right hand. Are you aware? Glory, right hand. What about Son of Man? Word of the Lord. So he now said, be full of the Holy Ghost, look up steadfast to heaven and saw the glory of God. Is it plus Jesus or Jesus? Standing on the right hand of God. Is that that angel? Those are Old Testament phrases. And said, behold, I see the heavens opened. And the Son of Man standing, that's Daniel, at the right hand of God. He cried with a loud voice and said, this guy has to die. So look at all he uses here. Son of Man, glory of God, right hand, the angel. All he connected it to Jesus. That was why he was killed. Is that similar to why Jesus was also killed? Same thing. So Galatians 3, Paul. Let's wrap up with this one. Now, don't forget that Paul by his own time. Go to Galatians 3, but let's go to Colossians 2. Quickly. Let no man, verse 18, beguile you of your reward in involuntary humility, worshipping of angels. You know, I told you that by time, angels have become beings, right? They are now being worshipped. Through those things which he had not seen, vainly popped up of his fleshly mind. So these New Testament writers and teachers had to make distinctions. It's called the Angelos Treskia, the worship of angels. So in Galatians 3, I'll just open this up and I will continue from there because I would love to do a bit of explanation there. Galatians 3, Paul is talking about how the law was given. Now, pay attention. Did Stephen also say the same thing? Stephen identified angels multiple and then one. So, were angels involved in Sinai? Was Jesus there? He was. So, let's see Paul. Verse 19. Wherefore, what serveth the law? Where did serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions. Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. It was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Angels plural, mediator singular. Now a mediator is not of one, but God is one. Does it make any sense? Huh? Paul avoids calling Jesus what? Why? Because of the present day problem. So he says there were angels with Moses, but there was also one person. I say that person is who? God. And Moses, we see in his writings, calls God the angel. So we have God the mediator, the angel. Moses doesn't dispense Jesus as Moses, angel of God, the word of the Lord. But Paul's dilemma will not afford him to refer stay with the word angel. Don't forget we said Colossae had syncretism, different belief systems and all of that. So the angel of God who was with Abraham. Don't forget, we go back again. And it says, God gave the promise to Abraham. And the God they gave us, the angel of God in Genesis. Genesis 15 verse 1, just write this down. Genesis 22 verse 11. Genesis 22 verse 15 to 17. So God is the mediator. Huh? And the angel. Huh? Come on. But Paul doesn't use angel. And for reasons we know. So the book of Hebrews, we'll just wrap up on that, speaks of that distinction. Hebrews 1 verse 1 to 4. We've done that earlier. Look at 1 Peter 3, 22. So Jesus was all through the Old Testament? Huh? Yeah. And he is the same yesterday, Hebrews 13, 8, today and forever. 1 Peter 3, 22. This is talking about Jesus now. I'll start from 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven, who is on the right hand of God. Let's see that right hand now. Angels, authorities, and powers being made subject to him. Is that assembly? Uh-huh. Authorities and powers being made subject to him. So Ephesians 1:20, far above all principalities, powers, might and dominion. Colossians 3:1, Ephesians 1:21. All those things are just that angel, that Lord of hosts. So the writer of Hebrews 1:4, gives us the notable identifiable marks of Jesus. We're going to explore this later. It's called the Son. It's called the Heir. It's called glory. All these phrases in Hebrews, the Son, the Heir, the glory, the word, the power, the name, the right hand, refer to that visible Yahweh. The Son, the Air, the Glory, the Word, the Power, the Name, and the Right Hand. Go to Hebrews quickly. Let's do the home run. Hope you learned something. So when you say the name of Jesus, you're not referring to alphabets or letters. Is that clear? That is the reputation. He has that reputation in the Old Testament. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 1, verse 5. Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. That's Psalm 2, verse 7, right? So why? He has to be seen as unique because we have other sons. Job 1:6, Job 2:1, Job 38:7, we were there yesterday. Psalm 29 verse 1, Psalm 82 verse 6, Psalm 89 verse 6. I'll take it again. Job 1:6, Job 2:1, Job 38:7, Psalm 29 verse 1, Psalm 82 verse 6, Psalm 89 verse 6. Of course, Deuteronomy 32 verse 8, Genesis 6:4. So he's distinguished. You are my son. This day have I begotten thee. And he's also called the monogenes. Uniqueness. He's a unique son, unique angel, unique heir. Hebrews 10, just for reference, verse 12 to 14. Let all the angels worship him. Now, quickly, wrap up on this one. Verse 8. Let's start from, look at the distinction he makes. Let's just run. Again, when he brings the first begotten into the world, first begotten will mean firstborn. Firstborn, your mind goes to Isaac and Ishmael. Abel and Cain, unique son. Unique son. Abel and Cain. Isaac and Ishmael. Joseph. Jacob and Esau. Israel amongst the nations. Unique son. Or firstborn. Firstborn, actually, this is firstborn. Firstborn is the one that has inheritance, right? Talk to me now. Inheritance. Who takes the office of the father. Who functions on behalf of the father, etc., etc. Let all the angels of God worship him. Why is he saying this? Because Jesus in the Old Testament is angel. Are you following this? This is why this decision was necessary. So he says here, of the angels, he says, he makes his angel spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he said, thy throne, O God. So this is God the Son, God the angel, is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou lovest righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, even your God, can you imagine? God your God. Have anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy face. That's Psalm 45, verse 6 and 7. The Lord in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. All this is connected to Jesus, Psalm 102. So that is why the writer of Hebrews says, why then did he become a man? He took on flesh and blood, so that he might deliver them who through all their lifetime were subject to the bondage fear. Then he says, he did not take on the nature of angels, but the nature of the son of Abraham, that he might be a faithful and merciful high priest. Is that clear? So we have his humanity. His humanity is the latter picture of Jesus. His divinity is who he is. His humanity is what he became. And so our study of scriptures must identify this in a wholesome way. When we say the name of Jesus, we're referring to his reputation yesterday, today, and forever. So we'll connect that with what we'll study on Friday. I think we said so great salvation. So great salvation. So Jesus, Savior yesterday, Savior today, and Savior.